I want to thank you for our president. Thank you for his stance on abortion. Thank you that he is seeking to dial back the abortions. Dial them back until Roe v. Wade can be overturned. Thank you, Lord, for his preservation of life as we see it with his stance against human trafficking. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with your silence. Thank you. Thank you. Father, as we study your word tonight, I ask that you would open up the scriptures to us. Let your Holy Spirit come and be our teacher. Your word brings forth light, instruction, encouragement, discipline. Your word brings forth truth into our lives, truth that we can stand on for all that we are and all that we'll do. Truth anchors us in you, that we can fulfill all that you have created us to fulfill. Your word brings forth understanding of who you are, your ways, the wonderment of God, our Creator, your word. It's precious. There's life in your word. Open up the scriptures to us, Lord. Settle things around us, Lord, that we can focus on what you have for us tonight. Let the Holy Spirit come in and bring us deeper into you through our time together tonight. I thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. In your precious and most holy name, seal this time, Lord, with your blood. Amen. Thank you, Lord. The season that we're in right now is we're in a shift from the church age to the kingdom age. In 2016, the Lord said, know no bounds. In 2017, the Lord said, the refining is coming. It's coming. 2018 was a deep, deep, deep level of refining that we went through. Many are still going through that. And we talked about that. We talked about that all year last year because of what God is trying to do in our lives to prepare us to stand strong in the days ahead. Think about who you are today as opposed to who you were back in 2018. February 2018. Who were you? Are you deeper in the scriptures? Do you have a deeper understanding of the scriptures today than you did then? Do you have a better prayer life? Do you spend more time in prayer? Do you feel the anointing released through you as you pray? Do you have greater insight and wisdom and knowledge and understanding and discernment as you study the scriptures? Do you have greater insight and wisdom and knowledge and understanding when you interact with people. In this past year, where we have come together nearly every week to teach and train, to go deep into the scriptures, has it brought forth a person who feels better anchored with their God? That's my prayer. That's my prayer over you every single day. Every single week when we come together, my prayer is that God will teach me and I will have the privilege to convey that to you. Every time we come together, I pray that the Lord will give you greater insight in the scriptures, that he will build upon the little nuggets that are released in our short time together. Why? Because I want you to grow. I want you to develop in God. I want you to walk in the authority and the love and the power of the living God in this hour. Because we are in the dark season. When they are wanting to fight to end the life of a baby after it has been born, after it has been formed in its mother's womb, and God has breathed his life into that child, he knows. He watches over every child. He formed us in our mother's womb. Psalms 139 talks about that. He knows every cell as it is developed. He watches over it. Because we matter to him. His creation matters to him. So when we live in a time when his creation is being sacrificed to Moloch, we're in some dark times. But God in his mercy, because we prayed, because we fought, because we wept, has given us Cyrus, who is seeking to eradicate the crimes against our children, the unborn, and those that have been born. That's his fight. To give them the opportunity for a future. I have watched our president be refined over the last 2 years. You know, he's a baby Christian. I keep saying this. He's a baby Christian. And he has been deeply refined. People keep throwing his past in his face. I know what that's like. I've had my past thrown in my face. I don't have the prettiest past. People think, well, you're Nita Johnson's daughter. Yes, yes, I am. And it's not her fault. I do have a free will. And I made some poor choices in my life. God had to work that garbage out of me. You make poor choices. You walk that path. It's a pretty rocky, rough path. And you pick stuff up. Unholy things. And when you finally bow the knee and return to God, he has to work that out of us. But he's good, and he's merciful, and he's patient. That's why I have such a compassion for Trump. Because he's a baby Christian who constantly has his past thrown in his face. There's nothing like our children to throw our past in our face, right? Nothing like our children to do that. I have four of them. They're great. They always remind us of our mistakes. I'm not saying they always remind us, but our children remind us of our mistakes. People that knew us back then remind us of our mistakes. And when we first get saved, we get a little offended. We get a little haughty about it, don't we? But I'm saved now, you know. It's all washed away. But we still have to work through the things that we picked up along the way. God has to remove it. He has to refine us. He has to prepare us to walk the straight and narrow path. So we had refining, and we still do. At the end of last year, the Lord told me he's redefining the church. And that's kind of like the refining for the church. That's the period of time where God is coming in and he is bringing down judgment on the house of God. Judgment can't come to the nation till it comes to the house of God. I know people believe judgment should come. We're not doom and gloom people here. We believe that God is going to clean up the church. We believe that we are moving into the kingdom age, preparing to meet our Lord. There are prophecies yet to be fulfilled about the church. The refined church. The one that sets aside all of the corporate structure of church. The body of Christ. The congregation of Christ. Those who seek only to please him. That's where we are today. The body of Christ striving for the refining, seeking only to please him. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? We're the salt of the earth. But if we lose our flavor, how are we going to get that flavor back? If we lose that which gives us character, think, what is salt? Salt is flavor. Salt is a preservative. Salt is that which gives us character. Salt is that which pours out the Spirit of the living God through us and into the people that we minister to. That's salt. Salt allows the Holy Spirit to flow through us. Salt is grace. Salt is the result of the fruit of the Spirit moving through us. Salt is character. Not character like, oh, he's so funny. Oh, he's got such great, you know, little anecdotes. Oh, he's angry. Salt is character of God. The character and the quality of the Lord. The book of Matthew was written to really reach out into the Jews' lives. The book of Matthew, he quotes more Old Testament than any other of the Gospels. He quotes the prophets. He talks about the covenant. He leads the Jewish people, having been a Jew, a study of the scriptures, a scholar of the scriptures himself. He leads the Jewish people down a path that will lead them to seeing the fulfillment of all they've waited for in Christ. Many times you'll see him talk about, I talked about this last time, the kingdom of God is mentioned, I think, 31 times in Matthew. The kingdom of heaven. I apologize. The kingdom of heaven. Many times he will say, to fulfill that which the prophet wrote. Because he is reaching into the lives of the Jewish people. Striving to help them see how Christ fulfilled the covenant promised, striving to see and demonstrate, to show how Christ fulfilled the prophecies. He quotes the greats, Isaiah, Hosea. He quotes them because he knows them. The scriptures are a part of who he is. And when he speaks, the scripture flows out of him. Have you ever been engaged in a conversation with someone and you are really, you feel the anointing is there? You feel, you can sense that this person's heart is beginning to open up to the gospel message, and the scripture just flows and flows and flows from you. Scripture you didn't even know you stored up in that brain of yours. It is flowing out of you into the life of that person you're speaking to. Have you ever experienced that, where the Holy Spirit starts bringing back passages of Scripture that will speak into their lives? Have you ever met someone who is hurting so desperately and the Psalms are now pouring out of you into their life? That's what Matthew did. The scriptures poured out of him because his heart ached, his people, to see Jesus as their Messiah. To see he came that they might have life and have it abundantly. To see that he came and he walked this earth and he demonstrated by his very life, by his words, what it means to be a child of God, what it means to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Ye are the salt of the earth. I looked up this word, or earth. And it said the arena, it's the probationary arena that we live in, which operates in space and time, which God uses to prepare us for eternity. It's here that we live out our moral preferences through the body, and God makes an eternal record of everything we do in the earth. Therefore, through faith, each scene of life becomes equally and eternally significant. And that sort of hit me like a brick wall. So if I'm the salt of the earth, if I'm here walking this earth, and every scene of life is being recorded in heaven, am I demonstrating to others eternal significance? Am I speaking into the lives of others words that are of eternal significance? Will my words lift them up? Will my words draw them to the cross? Will my words comfort their tears? Will my words line up with my actions? Or better yet, will my actions line up with my words? If you hear me on this line and you run into me at the store down the corner, will you see the same person? That's my desire. I am flawed. My mom would say, oh, no, 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 honey. My perfect little girl. But I am flawed. You know, because that's what moms are supposed to do. We are the salt of the earth. Our actions, our words, our gestures, our time must have eternal significance. This is our arena. This is our platform. This is it. This prepares us for eternity. Have you thought about that? This here, right now, today, prepares us for eternity. Are we on the right track? Is God's word having its way in our lives? Do we hunger and thirst for righteousness? Do we see ourselves blessed when people persecute us for Christ? When we stand up for what's right, do we feel blessed? Do we see it as an honor to be persecuted for righteousness' sake? This scripture is in the midst of three chapters of the greatest sermon that Christ did that we have record of how we live and demonstrate the kingdom of God. Three chapters dedicated to a sermon on how to live our life as citizens in the kingdom of God. And it starts here in this arena today. You might say, well, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Then bow the knee. Jesus Christ came. He walked this earth. He lived a sinless man. He went to the cross for our sins. He hung there on that cross, bruised and broken, battered, forsaken by those he'd walked this earth with. As he hung upon that cross, his heart burst open in his chest. I just learned that this week. When the soldier shoved that spear up in his side, and water and blood that came out, Josephus says that's indicative of a heart that burst in its chest. Jesus died of a broken heart for us, that we might have life with him. His heart was broken because he was separated from God. His sin, our sin, so great upon him, a sinless man. God had to turn his back on his son, and his heart burst within his chest. That's what he did. That we might have everlasting life. Are we living a life that reflects someone who honors the broken heart of our Lord? The arena that we're walking in. Called to demonstrate eternal significance. Does it reflect one who's serving the Lord? Today I say, Lord, strip off the things that are not of you. Break it off me. So that I might have a greater opportunity to demonstrate one who honors what you've done for me. This is our training ground. This right here is our training ground. How are we salted? How do we obtain greater, richer flavor? Mark 9:49. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. Really, the salt, our saltiness, is demonstrated by the character of our Lord pouring in and through us. We can lose our salt, you know. We can lose it. How do we lose it? It's pretty plain and simple. Sin. Sin causes us to, causes our salt to diminish. Compromise. What does compromise do? It waters us down. Like literally, if you have salt in a dish and you wet your finger and you stick it in the salt and you put it in your mouth, wow! That's some flavor. If you put a little water in it, it's still going to be salty. You put a gallon of water in it, you might taste the salt. 3 gallons. Well, there might be a hint of salt. Maybe it's the potato chip I just ate. Compromise waters us down. When we compromise, plain and simple, we compromise our faith. We compromise our beliefs. We don't stand for truth. We don't stand for righteousness. When someone is lying, we don't speak to that lie. If someone's sinning, we don't speak into their lies. Because let me tell you, it's our training ground and it's their training ground. And there's a very good possibility that God has put us in that person's life so that we can bring correction in that hour. And if we don't do it, their path back on the straight and narrow could be a long way off. People have forgotten the importance of speaking the truth to our brethren. You know why? Because we don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, if our brethren falls and they end up in hell, they're going to be hurting for eternity. So does that mean we come and we get our Bible and we walk up and slap them upside the head with it and say, you are violating this word? No. We speak into their lives. Brother, sister, let me show you something. I've been studying this. And the Lord has shown me this. Let me share it with you. You would be surprised at how quickly someone can turn by the gentle correction of someone who loves them. Times when we step off into compromise, we don't even realize we've stepped into compromise. We don't even realize it. It's often slow, you know, very, very slow. It's often very, very slow. Because that's how the enemy is. He lures us in slowly. Here, I know you're praying and studying right now, but you want to check the score on that game that was on yesterday that you missed? And boom, he's got you. For how long? While you're on your phone, looking up the score, following story after story. You're spending time in prayer in the Word, and you think, wait, wasn't yesterday? Didn't that article come out? Let me check on it. And we get sucked into story after story after story. Until we have lost our time with the Lord. It's very quick. It seems like it takes a long time when we first start praying and studying the Word. You sit down and you say, could you not tarry with me for 1 hour? You sit down to start praying and you look at your watch and it's been 3.5 minutes. You already prayed through every point in the Lord's Prayer. I still have 57 minutes to go. An hour? But it takes perseverance, persistence, diligence to break the flesh off of us. Mark says we're salted with fire. In Leviticus, they're instructed to salt the sacrifice. When the fire is stoked and the meat heats up, the salt mixes with the juices and the fat, and it begins to seep into the flesh of that meat, seep into the muscle of that meat. That flavor penetrating from the outside where it's been salted, through the flesh, through the fat, and into the muscle. That salt penetrates every part of it. And I'm not trying to diminish the quality and the beauty of what the sacrifice was back then. But it's like a barbecue. When you rub the meat with your flavor, and as you cook it, the flavor penetrates. So when we go through the fire, that salt penetrates us. It changes us. It changes us, who we are, from deep within, transforming us into a beautiful savor unto the Lord. Salt. Is enriched when we go through the fire. Compromise waters it down and diminishes it. Fire enriches it, causes it to penetrate the fibers of our being. The Bible is full of salty characters that we can study and find out how they reacted to the Lord, how he refined them, how he transformed them into vessels usable for his glory. Look at the Apostle Paul. He started out a rough character, didn't he? So rough, in fact, he had to change his name because the Christians, once he had his Damascus Road experience, were terrified of his very name. He thought he was doing God's holy work. He was a vessel of God, delivering the righteousness of God against those who were blaspheming the holy name of God. But when Jesus appeared to him, and he came to know what he was doing, it changed him. And the salt was deposited. He lived in the fire. The Apostle Paul lived in the fire. God had to keep putting him in. He was so busy on the work of the Lord, God had to keep putting him in prison so that he could write half the New Testament. But for him, it didn't matter where he was. As long as he was doing what God commissioned him to do, that's all that mattered. He lived in the fire. Peter, for a little while, jumped in and out of the fire. I love Peter. I want to be like the Apostle Paul. But the truth is, I've had to wrestle like Peter. I wrestled for a long time, like Peter. Jesus said, "You'll deny me three times." Peter said, "No way, I'll die for you." "No, you will in fact deny me." "No, no, no, I'll die for you." Peter had some wrestlings. But when God was done with him, he wasn't even willing to die like Christ. He said, "Hang me upside down. I'm not worthy to die as my Lord did." Through the fire, the salt penetrated every part of his being. His books are on holiness. Holiness. I look at Trump, and I think, here's a man who has really endured fire. When I watched him give that speech on Tuesday night, I saw a man who in his very young life as a Christian stood there and was persecuted for righteousness' sake. He stood for the unborn. He stood for the victims of human trafficking. He stood for righteousness. That's righteousness. Knowing he would get backlash, he declared it anyway. Because he did the right thing for the right reason and at the right time. When you look at the leadership of our nation and they cannot stand and applaud at the saving of a child. Life begins at conception. A baby smiles at 10 weeks in the womb. They have fingerprints at 7. 7 weeks. They have fingerprints. That's identification unique to that baby. Yes, he's going to fight. He's fighting for righteousness in our nation. Do we realize the amount of blood on our nation? Do we realize the amount of blood on our nation? Millions and millions of babies have been murdered. Before they came out of the womb, they were murdered. That's blood on our nation. That is fueling Moloch. We are not to have any other God before the Lord God Almighty. And we are allowing sacrifices to Moloch to take place on our soil. Yes, he's going to stand for righteousness. God put it in him. He can stand for these children, victims of human trafficking, those being brought up in these huge hordes up our border, our southern border, the people bringing them up, the parents bringing them up, no. Their chance of being raped is so high. They're giving their children birth control as they travel up the border, to our border. Yes, he's going to fight for righteousness. Children are being trafficked day in and day out. Children are being sacrificed to Satan day in and day out. And he knows this. Yes, he's going to stand for righteousness. And every person who did not stand for righteousness, when he spoke about the unborn, and he spoke about those children that are being victimized every day by traffickers, they will incur the judgment of God because the stubbornness and rebellion within them oozed out of them that day. But he's willing to take the heat because every time the fire comes on him, he thinks about the child that's created in the image of God. They had the prayer breakfast this morning, and I just watched him address the people for 22 minutes about God. The glory of God. The wonder of God. Bringing this nation to a place where we can actually proudly declare one nation under God. Where we can protect the sanctity of life because God created life. The refining is deep in him. That's why he needs our prayers. But as he spoke on Tuesday night, I'm going to tell you what I saw. Jordan was so important for our nation. I saw this giant U, like in the skate parks or the ones that the Olympians go up on, the snowboarders. I shook up out of the key. I saw this big U. And on one side, it was a dark gray. And on the other side, it was white. And as he spoke and he fought for the sanctity of life, this you began to spread out, and this dark gray side began to move into darkness. And as it did, it began to thin out, and the people began to pull away from it because they saw the darkness. And they retreated from the darkness. They saw the heart of those people who would not fight against fourth term abortion. Do you know what that is? That means the baby has come and been delivered naturally, full term, 9 months, and the doctor and the mother make the determination of whether or not that baby will live. And they will kill the baby on the spot. Over 20 years ago, my mom had a vision that they were taking the babies and throwing them into the ocean. Live babies, fresh babies being born. And we see it even now when doctors are making decisions if they're going to kill a baby that has come full term. My grandson was born 7 weeks early. And he is a healthy 5-year-old today. That's 33 weeks in the womb. And they are doing abortions up to 40 weeks. So that side of darkness became black and people saw it. And it was so evil. They began to retreat and come over onto the white side. And that side began to climb higher and higher and become thicker and thicker. As the people saw the darkness of the hearts of those people. This isn't just about Democrats and Republicans. This is a progressive socialist agenda that is thinking, striving, believing, standing for the destruction of our nation. And they, I promise you, understand blood sacrifice. They know the power it gives the enemy. And that's why they fight for this. But God put in a new baby Christian. Gave him the hardest job in the nation. And he put within that man a fight to stand for righteousness. And as the fire came, the soul penetrated him. Burning away his flesh. And the richness, sweet savor of a refined man is what's seeping up into the heavens today. Stand for righteousness. Even if you're standing alone, you stand for righteousness above all else. Because in the end, God's going to take this account, and he's going to say, while you were there on earth, I put you there to be the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth, that was your training ground before you came in here to heaven. How much did you learn? What did you do for me? What did you do for the kingdom of heaven? Did you live a salty, sacrificial life? Were you the light I called you to be? Nothing should put you out. You are a flame, a never-ending flame. Did you keep your fire stoked? What will be your answer? What will be your answer? Ask yourself. Because I have been crying out to God. God, let my answer be one that inspired the heart of another individual, that sparked the fire of God in someone, that stood for righteous even if I stood alone, that ignited a hunger for the Word of God, that inspired people to pray, that brought people into the kingdom of God with me. Please, Lord, Let that be on my record. Let my training ground be littered with these. Let it be littered with these things. Please give me the grace to walk this path. Where you can say, well done, my good and faithful servant, well done. And my friends, my brothers and sisters, if that is not your cry right now, the Spirit is moving right now, and He's pricking hearts right now. He wants to give you the cry. He wants to grant it to you. Just reach out to Him and let Him do it. The time is short, and we are preparing for the kingdom age because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, prick our hearts with a revelation of the kingdom of heaven and what it means to walk as a salty character on this earth. Let us see what it is to stand for righteousness. Let us understand the truth of that, Lord God. Ignite within us a fire, Lord God. A fire for you, a fire for your kingdom, a fire to see your will done in this earth, a fire to ignite, to inspire, to bring people into the kingdom with us. Ignite it within us, Lord God. Ignite it. Ignite it with your hearts. Thank you. And thank you, Lord. Thank you. For your spirit. I thank you for your spirit as it's piercing the hearts of so many, bringing us back into focus, back into the kingdom focus, back into the path of righteousness. I thank you, Lord. In your precious name. Amen.